Welcome to Season 1, Episode 6 of Interior Creature in Communion. I'm Jacqueline Michelle. I am so honored you're here, and I cannot wait for you to hear this week's conversation. Each week, I sit in communion with a member of the Interior Creature community just to talk about the work of deconditioning, of exploring every little nook and cranny of our birth charts, and that process of moving from intellectual epiphanies to actual embodiment of the highest and most compassionate frequencies of those energies within our charts. Another thing to note, everyone whom I sit with in communion is given a pseudonym just to protect their privacy and to create that safe container that allows for vulnerability and honesty. Today, I want to share my conversation with Lillian. She's a 3-5 manifesting generator with sacral authority and the writing will cross the Sleeping Phoenix in Gate 20. Over the course of our conversation, Lillian and I talked about the importance of authenticity, of trusting our own timing, and our hopes for the age of Aquarius. We're going to drop into the conversation right after I thanked her for sitting down with me, and I asked her about our human design experiment thus far.
Well, I'm pretty new to human design. I'm a novelist, and I had another writer friend who is very good at manifesting her dreams. It seems I really look up to her, and she is into human design and told me about it, and so I've been doing some exploration, and it's matched up with a lot of things I already knew about myself, including the fact that I'm a very like introverted, self-directed sort of person, not really too surprising for a writer, but I am getting to this point in my career where I'm wanting to, you know, be in the public eye in maybe a bigger way, connect more with readers, connect more with my public. I hate that, but you know.
It's part of the business, right?
Just like generally be perceived, which writers don't love to do, but it is part of the business. So yeah, I'm curious what in my chart might give me some direction in that area.
One of the first things that I noticed when I was kind of pulling up your chart and kind of looking at all the different parts and pieces, and for those of you who are listening and can't see her chart, Lillian is a manifesting generator. She has sacral authority, but she has a split in her definition. She's got her throat, herself, and her sacral defined. She also has her spleen and her root defined, but those circuits are not kind of in connection with one another. So there is that kind of split in decision making. But one of the things that she does have going on for her is you have a lot of things going on for you, but you have the channel of charisma, the channel of awakening, and the channel of exploration. So those kind of those 20 to 10 to 34 kind of triple gates that make those three different channels, you have that kind of connecting your throat to yourself, to your sacral. In addition to the channel of inspiration, which is a great thing to have as a writer, plus you've got this channel of struggle. So the first thing that jumped out to me just when I was looking at your chart was that channel of struggle, right? And so the channel of struggle is kind of what you indicated when you wrote to me about coming on the podcast, just this individual circuitry. Like the channel of struggle is really about what gives me purpose, what feels purposeful, meaningful, of service, what gets me out of bed every day. And for you in your chart, that's your unconscious Pluto is sitting in that placement. We've also got your conscious Jupiter, which is, you know, abundance, which is the planet of expansion, and Pluto with gate 28 being, you know, the planet of transformation. How has that kind of, manifested in your life so far? What's your relationship to purpose, to, you know, having, I guess, a career that feels more like a calling?
It's been kind of a long road. I started writing in my late 30s now, and I started writing a little over 10 years ago, and it was a lot of struggle. I had like a first book that I revised over and over and over again, and I collected over 100 rejections on that book. I finally got published with a different book a few years after that, and then a few years ago I left my day job. I'd been planning it for a while. I had this whole plan, and then the time came that I had planned to leave my day job, which was March 2020. I did it anyway. And then for the last several years, I've been struggling to finish my next book. I'm actually in a better place with it now, but it felt like all of this trial and error and just like, who am I? What do I want to write? Like, what kind of author do I want to be? What kind of, like, I was going back and forth between genres. I was just like all over the place. I feel like I've settled a little bit more now, but that does seem to be my process, where I just have to try a million things, which I know my 3-5 is related to that too.
1,000%. I'm a 1-3. So you and I have that third line in common. We have to literally try the thing on to see if it fits us.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because that's actually the most dominant gate in or line rather in your chart. So even though you're a 3-5, you've got 8 gates on the third line, 5 gates on a fifth line, but you also have 7 gates on a first line. You have a tremendous amount of first line energy as well. And we'll put a pin in that. We'll come back to that. But
okay.
What I thought was so fascinating was this third line energy of this, like, you and I kind of need to like get our hands dirty, get up to our elbows in it, try it on, experiment with it, see what works, what doesn't. And we kind of also need that breath and space and time to do so, or it's hard for us to figure out what's ours, what's not. So that actually becomes like a really integral part of our process, is that like trying on, that dress up period, if you will. Like I have to kind of try it on and see what fits and what doesn't. So that's something you want to make sure that you're not like, that's not something you want to like, I guess, let go of or negate or try to like soothe. It's almost like this is part of what I need to be the best version of me. So how do I carve out the breath and space and time that allows me to do that kind of trial and error process?
Yeah, and I'm very happy in that process. I mean, part of the reason that I love writing is the revision process. It's like you create something that's really shitty and then you make it better through many, many passes of revision. I think I struggle with, I mean, we all have to live under capitalism, and just I'll be very happily struggling with my work and thriving and everything. And then I'm like, oh crap, I have to make money. What do I do? Because it takes a long time and you can't really control how long something's going to take. And then I get very anxious and I try to initiate things instead of responding, and it leads me down dark paths.
And it's hard too, because I think what's interesting is Jupiter, so the planet of abundance and expansion, and kind of again, financial abundance as well, is sitting in gate 38, which is part of that channel of struggle, which is why I was kind of directing us to start there. One of the things that's supposed to actually bring you that kind of financial abundance is staying in your purpose. So I think like the work that it sounds like you've done to try to figure out what is my voice, what kind of author do I want to be, what feels purposeful, meaningful, of service, like it's definitely tied to being able to kind of like share that out in the world. And I love that it sits in your fifth house, because the fifth house is, what are we birthing? What are we creating? Mm-hmm. And like, what is a novel but a baby that we're like bringing out into the world, right? Like it's our creative baby that we're birthing, right? So I think like, and again, that's sitting on your third line of this kind of play, trial and error, creativity, experimentation, which I really love for you. And then what's interesting too is the fact that the other half of that channel is in your unconscious, but it's in this planet of transformation. So Pluto's themes are like death and rebirth, you know, catalyzing transformation, you know, truth. How do they kind of tie together with like either your writing process or your calling? Like, do you find that those themes are kind of resonant in what you're creating?
Yeah, I do think my writing career, my writing process, it's pushed me to know myself better and to deal with to do a lot of shadow work in order to write what I wanted to write. For a while, I abandoned this project. I may go back to it, but one of the ones that I was struggling with during the pandemic was about a character who had chronic pain, which is something that I have dealt with for several decades now. And it really forced me to look a lot of things in the eye and be honest with myself in a way that I think if I just had like an office job that I went to every day and it wasn't my passion, it wasn't my calling, I wouldn't have to deal with those things. And I like that about this career. I like that it kind of doesn't let me bullshit myself forever. I have to deal with these things.
Yeah. And it's funny because another thing that just jumped out at me in your chart as well is your own timing being such a critical part of your happiness and your joy. You have both gate 5 and gate 9 activated in your sacral. And as a manifesting generator, so not only is there this kind of like specter of what do I give my physical energy to? Like, I want to be busy, but how busy do I want to be? Am I keeping myself busy just to be busy, or am I giving my physical energy to something that really gives me joy? There's also this other kind of layer to it in your chart, especially, that has to do with timing. Gate 9 is like, how do we structure our time? So on a daily basis, that could be like your writing process. And I know there's like tons of, you know, God, like advice out there for how often you should write and when you should write and how structured that time should be. Like, part of that for you is you figuring that out for yourself, like figuring out how do you want to structure time in a way that feels really supportive to you. But then there's also gate 5, which is like your timing on the macro and on the micro. Like, so, you know, when do you bring out that third, that fourth, that fifth novel? Like, you know, when do you, like, what are you working on and when are you working on it? Like, there's the, you know, external timeline that the world seems to have us on, but then there's also this personal timeline for you. And I thought that was so interesting because those are both Uranus placements in your chart. So gate five is your conscious and your unconscious Uranus. And Uranus is the planet of disruption. Uranus is the planet of the unexpected. Uranus doesn't want us to like do things the way we've always done them. Uranus is like, let's get out of that box. Let's try to kind of shake things up and see, you know, what feels more authentic. So I think one of the things that was kind of striking out to me or just like jumping out to me as I was looking at your chart was like, I almost feel like you're wired to create works of art, like novels, literature, whatever you're writing, in a way that feels so radically authentic and like such a personal calling that maybe doesn't have to do with the public, if that makes sense. Not that you're not meant to publish. Like, I totally feel like your work is meant to be out there and shared, but I almost think of it as like, oh, what's that Italian author? Ferrante, the one who has like
Elena Ferrante. Yeah.
Isn't she notoriously reclusive? Like, she's very private from what I understand. Right. She's very kind of like, you know, she'll give interviews, but it's very like how much access people to have to her is very different. And I almost feel like not that you need to model your writing career off of her, but I think your own timing, your own pacing, and like your own timetable, it almost kind of has to happen on your terms for you to write the thing that's going to be the legacy you want it to be. Does that make sense?
It absolutely does. Yeah. And I've found over the years that whenever I try to set myself deadlines, like, oh, I need to finish this by the end of the year or by a certain anniversary of something or whatever it is, like, it slows me down. It's like setting the deadline just disrupts my process, where if I let myself get up every day and just kind of naturally gravitate towards working on what I want to work on, the work gets done faster. But I really struggle with that, especially I'm a Virgo rising, you know, like I want to make a schedule.
Yeah.
But it just doesn't seem to work for me as well as I would like it to.
Oh, I hear it. My progress move just moon just moved into Virgo, and my moon is normally in Pisces. So it's been this weird, like, you know, wanting structure, but my Pisces natal moon is like, but I want to just flow. So I totally understand the whole kind of like, how do we make that work? I guess one of the things I'm wondering about is like, there we almost have this like real world need, obviously, to put a roof over our head, food in the table, et cetera. But then there's also this creative like thing we need a birth that has its own timeline, has its own kind of way of working. And it's almost like, how do we balance the two so both needs are getting met? Is kind of, I think, one of the things you're here to kind of like carve out for yourself and figure out for yourself. Especially because most of your arrows are facing right in your chart. The variables, the arrows that are next to the head, I know a lot of people call them the arrows, they're technically called the variables. But they all have to do with like cognition and how we digest things and the environment we're meant to be in. They're really kind of like, each one has its own purpose. I also read them holistically, because one of the things I've noticed is that people who have more of their arrows facing right are more kind of ready for the systems we're building in the new paradigm than folks who have a lot of left-facing arrows. Like, left-facing arrows is kind of very structured, very rigid, kind of like the traditional Virgo move. It would almost be like the Virgo rising, kind of going like, I want everything to be structured and very Capricorn-like, and like, we've got systems, we've got rituals, et cetera. But the new paradigm is more abstract. It's more community-centered, it's more heart-centered, it's more creatively generated. And so it's almost like there's this like one little arrow of yours, your top left arrow that's like facing left, that's going, okay, I have the skill set I need to navigate the old paradigm because that's what I've spent the most of my life in. But in human design, we know we've got these like global cycles. We're ushering in a new one in 2027. What astrologers call like the age of Aquarius, right? We're kind of, you know, on the threshold of it right now, trying to build these new systems. And just like with Pluto moving into Aquarius this year, we've never experienced that as a culture before. So social systems are being disrupted. The technology is being disrupted. We're kind of like building this new, I guess, this new world of what we want work to look like, what we want relationships to look like. And I almost feel with all of your, like these three arrows facing to the right, three of your variables facing that kind of abstract energy, they're ready for something that doesn't exist yet. So you're almost a little ahead of your time. A lot of folks with the right facing arrows, like kind of identify with feeling like little aliens, because it's like you're wired to work in a way that the world has not caught up to yet.
That is really interesting. Huh?
Yeah. So one thing to think about too is like, almost like, let's get aspirational with it. So instead of like, I know your question kind of almost started off with like, we know the way the paradigm exists right now is that like authors need to be public. They need to be tweeting or have a social media following. And it's like, you know, I've even seen like, you know, authors getting manuscripts rejected because they don't have enough followers or whatever on whatever stupid platform. We're almost saying, like, do we want to play by the rules of the old paradigm? Or do we want to lean into the gifts of your chart, which are all, like you mentioned in your email to me, like individual circuits? Do we want to lean into the things that makes you unique and special and an authentic, unique individual voice, and allow those to be the things that give you the permission to give the biggest gift you can to the world that's so radically authentic and so radically you?
Yeah, I feel like a big pull towards, I don't know, I'm on, you know, I'm on Instagram and Twitter and whatever. I have like the last couple months not really been posting, and I've just been thinking about like, what do I really want to be posting here? What do I want to be sharing? But there's this fear element of, if I'm not on there, I'm not visible, I'm not, but it feels so inauthentic to me. And it distracts me from what I really want to be doing, because I just feel like I'm being this fake person. And I don't know, like, I don't know if there's a way that I could do that authentically, or if I just need to say, like, screw all of this, I'm gonna do my own thing. And like, when I think about those authors who are reclusive, I'm so jealous of them. I'm like, oh, the dream.
I know, right? Like, I want to go find my little island off the coast of Maine in a little cabin and just like right there forever, and then, you know, show up every once in a while to turn in a manuscript. That sounds beautiful.
So
right?
Amazing. Yes.
I know. And we can create that, though. That's the beauty, I think, of this Aquarian age, is that we can kind of like create those systems. One of the things I thought was so cool in your chart is those three channels I mentioned, that like charisma, awakening, exploration. Because really what that circuit is trying to get you to do is really examine what gives you physical joy. And your gate 34 is your conscious earth. And the conscious earth in human design and in the gene keys is the thing that we need to kind of like anchor ourselves in really deeply to be able to show up as our incarnation cross, which for you is the sleeping phoenix, which I effing love for what we're talking about, right? Because it's all about rebirth and how you kind of rise from the ashes of anything that feels like difficult or challenging or chaotic or, you know, devastating or whatever it is. Like, you rise again, reborn, bigger, stronger, faster, right? Like, it's like you always kind of like, you know, yeah, you might self-immolate, but you rise again, right? So there's this tenacity, this grit, but also this like leveling up that happens every time you face like disappointment, right? And so gate 34 is there to anchor you in your joy. It's this gate in the sacral called the gate of power. And it's really about like, what are my yeses? What are those things that like get me up each day that make me want to go like, fuck yes, I want to give my energy to this thing. Yes, this gets me really lit up. I'm so excited to research this thing, or I can't wait to write this chapter, or whatever it is, because it feels so authentically exciting and generative to you. And like, once that's there, it becomes an act of self-love to give that to yourself. That's gate 10. Gate 10 is like, I know it's got a longer name than this, but I always think of it as my shorthand for it's the self-love gate, because whatever it touches, it becomes an act of self-love to give that to yourself. It's also connected, this joy, this powerful joy you have, to your throat, the gate of the now. And the gate of the now is like, I don't want to betray A, my integrity, because it's also connected to your self-love, but B, I doesn't want to betray the thing that gives you that tremendous amount of joy. So I almost feel like the universe gave you all this individual circuitry to keep you authentic, to keep you from doing what everybody else is doing. Because social media, I mean, the algorithm is really set up for us to like mirror each other. And you have so much individual energy. You're not here to be a mirror for anybody. Like, you're, or to mirror anybody back. You're maybe the thing we mirror because we're so inspired by you. But everything is so defined. Like, you're here to really figure out, what is my fuck yes? How do I share it authentically in my own voice, in my own kind of creative way, in a way that feels authentic to me? Like, I feel like your readers can probably sense when you're not sharing authentically.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I'm sure like the energy that I bring to social media is not it's just like, well, I guess I have to do this, or this is giving me a lot to think about, because it's sort of confirming, like, I've had these urges towards like, I don't want to do things like everybody else is doing, I don't want to be on TikTok or whatever, but then I'm like, oh, are you just afraid of being perceived and being seen, and you're trying to hide? And I don't think so. Like, I know who I am, and I've always been very contrary, and like, as a kid and everything, I would just kind of do what I wanted. And like, if I don't really give in to peer pressure very easily.
I mean, that's your defined self. That's your gate five in Uranus. You're like, it's got to be my timing. It's got to be kind of the thing. And it might not be what everybody else is doing.
Are you a small business owner or a spiritual practitioner working in the wellness space? Do you want to get your offerings in the ear holes of the amazing members of the Interior Creature community? If so, you are in luck because I'm looking for sponsors for upcoming episodes. Drop me an email at interiorcreature@gmail.com and Interior Creature is all one word. And let's chat and see if you're a good fit. Now, back to the pod.
I also think what's interesting is like the other thing that's in this big circuit of yours, like we don't want to get like overlook like the fact you've got the channel of inspiration, which is so powerful. Like Andy Warhol has this in his chart. Bjork has this in her chart. It's your creative spark getting an exhale out into the physical world. So it's like Mars in gate one is like, if I have to be effing lit up, passionate, fiery about whatever it is I'm creating and birthing, you know, and it's your third house too, which again is a lot of like creative energy in there as well. And a lot of like social energy, right? It's got to be something that you feel passionate about before it's able to kind of come out in community. And then gate eight is like, where do I aim that creative contribution? Like, where do I want to put it in the world? And that's a Venus placement for you. I feel like it's got to be like the right relationships, the right community. So I almost think this is a challenge to you to decide like what platform, because there are so many these days, what platform is the one that feels the most authentic to share on? I mean, it could be having a Substack, it could be, you know, creating a YouTube channel, it could be, you know, Twitter, because that's a writing platform and all my energy goes there and not on Instagram or whatever it is. Because we almost, it's funny, one of the themes I was reading about yesterday from an astrologer I follow is rethinking kind of our connection to social media, because he feels like something's going to happen with it that's disruptive during this kind of Pluto and Aquarius, like little, we get from, I believe it's from like March to June this year, we get to experience Pluto kind of moving into Aquarius and it moves back into Capricorn and it kind of like dips in and out for the next few years. But one of the things that he was predicting was like disruptions in social networks, the way we use social media, et cetera. And a lot of us who have businesses that are based in, you know, us sharing our work on these social platforms, like we need to think about what happens if those are taken away. Like, what are we going to do? Can our business still survive? And so for you, I think it's a challenge or an opportunity really to think about what is it that feels like a get to. That's the way I want to share, because that's when I'm going to be able to share my most authentic voice. It's going to feel a lot like me. It's going to lean into that channel of charisma, awakening, exploration. It's going to feel incredibly authentic and joyful to create. Does it feel like a creative contribution I want to make? And this channel of struggle, it'll feel purposeful. And if it kind of scratches all of those scratches all those itches and checks all those boxes at the same time. I have an open throat. So like it gets messy over here. But I think if it does those things, like that's going to be the thing that's the most magnetic.
Okay. Interesting. Yeah. I have my astrology bestie also recently mm-hmm. said something about how I was talking to her about this struggle I have with social media. And she was like, yeah, I just think there's going to be so much disruption. There's not a lot of reason to invest in a certain platform right at this moment. Like wait a few months and there's going to be something new that we don't even can even predict or don't even know what it is yet. That's so exciting. I'm excited for the age of Aquarius. Like bring it on.
Yeah, me too. I'm like so excited. It's funny. I'm wired kind of opposite. I have like three of my arrows facing left and one facing right. And that little arrow facing right is like really wants that new age. The left is like, I'm kind of done with some of these old structures that like aren't really serving us. But I feel like we each have a different kind of role to play as we make that transition. Some of us are here to like really understand the old structures so we know what to get rid of. And some of us are here to build the new. And like, you're very much on that end of the spectrum that's like building the new. So I think it's almost permission for you to get really creative with, you know, really what is it that gives you joy? And let me lean into that. As opposed to trying to like show up in the way that everybody else has traditionally shown up, like that's about to combust anyway. So why waste that energy? And I thought that was interesting. And what another thing that's cool in your chart is this kind of like connection to play and skill, which I thought was so interesting. Your North Node, South Node journey in both your conscious and your unconscious is really interesting. So in the conscious part of your chart, your South Node is sitting in gate 9, which is all about, again, like how we structure time, like how we kind of like organize our days, our months, our weeks, our years in a way that feels like our own timing. And that's sitting in your South Node. So it'd be interesting to think about like childhood conditioning around timing and like the way a day was supposed to be structured or like what productivity looked like. So you know, how is that kind of for you as a kid, and how have you found that like translating to you as an adult and how you structure time?
Yeah, that's there's a lot there. I'm pretty sure I have my father was a very religious Capricorn who had a lot of ideas about productivity. So
Oh Lord. Okay, yeah.
we don't have to get into all of that, but that's
Oh
what came
no.
up for me just now.
Yeah. So there's probably some of that that's still hanging around that's making it feel like it was funny. I was talking to someone the other day, a client who just started working remotely, and she feels this guilt when she's not at her desk at 9 and leaving it at 5:30, even though like working remotely gives you that plasticity and freedom to kind of like create your work patterns or work in accordance to what your body is saying. So that would be an interesting thing for you to kind of unpack, because it's also in Sagittarius, gate 9. And Sagittarius does have kind of like a fiery, playful energy to it as well, that you can kind of explore like, what are those rhythms that actually feel good to me? And like, maybe productivity looks different than it did for my, you know, very Capricorn father who had like very specific ideas about, you know, productivity. And it's interesting because it's basically setting the stage for you to step into your North Node, which is the gate of skill. Gate 16 in your throat center wants to be like really good at whatever it gives its energy to. And for you, that probably is the talent of writing, the talent of storytelling, the talent of like creating these really compelling narratives and characters, and you know, they're readable and like all that good stuff. Like the timing has to be there, though, to support the skill coming out, because that's the kind of journey we take from South to North Node. So do you see a connection in your life between like the way you structure your time and the way you're able to kind of steward that skill?
Yeah, definitely. I like the more I try to structure, it's kind of like the same thing with when I was talking about the deadlines. The more I try to structure, and I've done everything, I've done like the planner where you write out like every single hour and how you're going to spend it. And I mean, all of that Virgo crap. But when I just get up in the morning, and I mean, my time is totally mine at this point. So I get up in the morning and I just kind of see what I feel like working on that day. Sometimes I want to sit and read for a few hours before I get started with writing, or maybe I want to jump right into it. Like if I just trust that, I get so much more done. It's like the scheduling and trying to put restrictions on everything slows me down, trips me up, and then I feel guilty all the time because I'm like, well, you said at 10:15 you would be doing this. So I'm trying to move away from that. Like I just this year actually I stopped using a standard to-do list, and I have this like beautiful astrology planner, and I'll write down kind of like intentions for the day, but I'm not scheduling or having like a to-do list of things to check off, and I've been getting so much more done. And like the more my more important work, instead of I think like I would tend to just do all the little easy stuff that I could check off.
Yeah, there is that Virgo part of us. Like my Earth is in Virgo. You and I both have our Pisces moon, but like that progressed Virgo moon too. I think you and I are actually born the same year, so we might be having that same like Virgo moon progression happening. It started in like October of this year or November of this year, where all of a sudden that's where our progressed moon was. That might be start some of that, you know, quote unquote guilt of like productivity should look a certain way. But I love that gate 9 placement here to just kind of remind you that like, no, productivity looks the way you want it to look. We're gonna like light the capitalism definition of productivity on fire and say like, for what you're doing, especially like the muse visits when the muse is here. Like she kind of picks and chooses when she shows up. So like trying to force creativity into a like a mold it doesn't feel comfortable in, like that's also not gonna help you produce your best work either. So that would be something interesting to kind of think about. And the other, your unconscious South Node to North Node journey also has to do with timing and play. So gate 5 is like when you hit your kind of big life milestones, doing it on your own timetable, in your own timing, saying yes to things when you actually feel called to and ready to, versus like when someone else has decided like this is where you should be by this point in time. I'm using like giant air quotes, and like getting comfortable with that. And it sounds like if you had a Capricorn father who is religious, I'm sure there are very specific milestones that you are expected to hit at certain times in your life.
Yeah, and I pretty much just rejected all of that. Like, I think that's part of what made me so contrary. I was just like, nope, not for me.
But that's literally the way you're wired. I always joke gate 5 and 9 are supposed to take like society's timetable, quote unquote, and like crumple it into a little ball, light it on fire, and scatter the ashes to the four winds. Like you're not here to follow anybody else's timing but your own. And finding community and folks that accept that and embrace that and protect that for you is another kind of huge thing. But what's interesting is when you're able to do that, then you step into like the beauty that is gate 35, which is all about play and experimentation. and like trying things on and seeing what fits and seeing what doesn't. Like I always joke, like 835 is kind of like the mascot of the third line. It's very, you know, experimental, playful, like try it, see what happens. And that's what we need as writers too. Even though I don't work in fiction, like we do sometimes have to like try things on, see what works, see what doesn't, to kind of figure out what our voice is going to be or how we want to express the point we're trying to express. Like that play needs to be there. And I just think it's so interesting that both skill and play are standing on the shoulders in your chart of honoring your own timing.
Yeah, as you're talking about play and joy and all of that, I mean, I think another thing I struggle with is just feeling like the work that I'm doing is important, like that it matters, that it's not just frivolous. Because sometimes when I'm, especially the book that I'm working on now, which I'm really in love with, and like after kind of a lot of false starts, this one's going really well. It's like some days it just doesn't feel like I'm working. It feels like I'm just playing in this sandbox with my characters. And then I have guilt about that. That's like that Puritan work ethic or whatever.
Yeah. That's the hard part. That's like the challenge, I think, of being a generator and a manifesting generator, because you and I, like, we were not conditioned to believe that work was supposed to be joyful. In fact, like most of us were given the opposite conditioning that, like, you know, you find a job that pays well or has a certain salary or you get a certain title and then you start your family and there's all these like expectations. But for us, like it's almost like our body is a car and it runs on joy. Joy is the gas we put in our car. And like, if we don't put joy in the tank, or even worse, we try to fill the tank with something that doesn't work, like diesel, like our car is going to break down. It's going to like fall apart in the side of the road. Like that, it's going to catch on fire. Like that's not the way it's meant to work. You and I are meant to put joy in the tank. But again, it's that capitalist conditioning that tells us joy can't be our job. But mm-hmm. I think that's another beautiful reason why you've got three of those arrows facing right, three of your variables, like, you know, running full speed toward the new paradigm, is like, you're here to kind of disrupt that and say, no, my job is supposed to be joyful. The thing that is my calling is supposed to, it's supposed to feel like play. It's supposed to feel like pleasure. And like, what happens if I try to put that guilt down and like really allow it to be joyful, playful? And like every day it's like this is my life. This is amazing. I get to do all of this. I get to create these characters. I get to have so much fun as I'm writing. Like, how expansive is that?
I'm getting like legit chills down my spine as you're saying all of that. Just want you to know.
I mean, it's your purpose. Like Jupiter is what expands us. And like, you're in your purpose. Like if writing is the thing that gives you joy with this channel of inspiration, right? You've got that channel of struggle. You found the thing that's purposeful. Now, granted, there might be times where we have to like freelance or temp or whatever to like roof over our head, food on the table. I get that. But it's almost like that's the temporary, like, it's almost like that's our angel investor to get you to the place where the book, like you write the thing that's like your opus, right? Your magnum opus or whatever it is that you're like, this is so authentically me. It gave me so much joy to write it. It's my voice. It was on my timing, my terms. That's what's going to blow up. Not you having a certain amount of followers or doing performative things that feel like have to. It's like our whole thing as generators, and this took me, I'm still working on this myself, by the way. Like I might sound like I've got all the answers. I'm still absolutely working on this myself. Like the get to versus have to, like we're supposed to live in the get tos. And when we get stuck with the have tos, like a lot of times, if we really kind of source, where is that have to pressure coming from? It's not coming from us. It's coming from like what we're perceiving of the outside world, or we're putting pressure on us based on something we're perceiving. That's not actually pressure there. If that makes sense.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I think you have the perfect setup. Like I almost felt like as I was looking at your chart earlier, that your individual circuitry is trying to protect you from almost being consumed by other people's expectations, perspectives, voices. Like to be authentically your own, it's almost like we need to kind of like allow you to kind of do your own process in your own timing, in your own way. And that's what's going to create the beautiful thing. Not you trying to kind of, because you know, there's some authors who do that. They're like, what's hot right now? Oh, I'll write that. It doesn't sound like that. You're like, it needs to be authentic. It needs to be anchored. It needs to be purposeful. Like that's staying in your, like almost like celebrating the way you're wired and not trying to, you know, almost like hack it to get things that you're not wired to have. Like that, it's almost like we need to hire someone who's going to do the social media for you. We need to like find someone at your publisher that can like, I don't know, do the TikTok dance about your book or whatever it is. Like maybe that's not you. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I tried with some of these projects that fell apart during the last couple years to write more to like what's trendier, what I felt like readers expected from me after my first couple books, and that did not work. I was miserable and I couldn't produce anything. And now I'm writing this book that's like honestly pretty weird.
I love
we'll see
weird.
What happens when it's time to publish it, but it's like there's so much joy and love going into it. I think it'll resonate with people.
And that it's so funny. So like your criteria in your chart, even though you're split, like there's almost like four questions you have to ask yourself, or five actually, because you're a writer, to kind of make sure it's like on the right page. And this is what your body is kind of giving you the information, like the intel, like the body is reacting to this information so you can respond, right? Is it my voice? Like, does it feel authentically me through that closed self? Is it a get to or a have to through that sacral? Does it feel safe or even productive and purposeful? Because this lean is like not just like keeping us alive, it's keeping us like in our livelihood in the thing that like feels the most productive and purposeful. And does it feel like the right time? Like that's the other thing. You and I with our closed root center, like our body is going to focus when it's ready to and not a second before. And we can't force it. If we try to force it, it doesn't work, right? And so figuring out a way to kind of work with that energy and like be available when the muse comes to visit and touches you and is like, perfect, here's the idea. And you're like, I want to go play with my characters in the sandbox. Like you got to be ready to do that. So yeah. So what does that end up looking like? It's almost like the body will tell you. And if we honor what the body is telling us and then respond, that's all our strategy means. It has nothing to do with anybody else initiating us or waiting for anything external. It's just external things are constantly coming to us. We just need to make sure we're anchoring how we respond in the body and the body's wisdom and the body's intuition. And it sounds like, and again, you're not alone. This is everybody's challenge in human design is the conditioning, the outer influence, and like your open heart, your open solar plexus, your open head, your open mind. You're hearing all of the conditioned messages from the rest of the world about what an author should look like, quote unquote, or, you know, how a workday should look, quote unquote. And we want to like almost like try to turn the volume down on that and turn the volume back up on what your body knows to be true. Yeah, that's everybody's challenge in human design is what, but it's just the wiring is a little different for everyone.
Wow. This is, I'm just like, my head is spinning of all the, this is so much great information. Thank you.
No, of course. Oh my gosh. Like this is my special happy nerdy place is putting together puzzles like this. I love it when people are like, here's the thing I'm wrestling with. Here's what I need to do. The other thing I think is so cool in your chart, like last little thing I'll kind of leave you with, is this like cross of the sleeping phoenix. I think you can use this as a permission slip to change genre, to change how you're writing, to change like who your audience even is, to change publishers maybe. Cross of the sleeping phoenix again is these death and rebirth cycles. And you're supposed to go through changes, right? And I think society fetishizes consistency in a way that isn't realistic. Like we're always in a process of growth and evolution. And I think you're really aware of it too with your closed self. Like you can tell when your ethics, your morals, your values, your identity, how you describe yourself, how it shifts and changes. You can tell with your sacral, like what gives you joy, what doesn't, and how that's changing. Like you're allowed to go through rebirths, right? You're allowed to rise from those ashes, better, stronger, faster, you know, all that good stuff. And I think like, so 34 and 20 are trying to keep you in your joy and keep you present in your body, but your unconscious two gates are also super important. Gate 55 is your unconscious sun. It's called the gate of spirit. And it's all about like, what are you lit on fire about? Like, what are you super passionate about? What do you want to illuminate? And the gene keys, they call your unconscious sun, your inner radiance. Like what's that light that you want to shine out in the world that you're like, so emotionally invested in. And even though your authority isn't emotional, you still have this aspect of your energy that wants to care deeply for your characters, for the situation that they're in, the stories that you're telling, the audience you're creating for, you know, that needs to be there. And these deep relationships that you're building, either whether it's professional, personal, or the characters you're creating in your work. You also have gate 59, which is, it's called the gate of sexuality, but it's about building deep, intimate connections. And so I think like, a lot of this is basically, it's here to protect you and give you, yeah, just the like ability to say, I'm going to go off kind of in my writer bubble, my metaphorical like house in Maine on an island and like write the thing I want to write, you know, in a way that feels like deeply connected, deeply intimate. You know, I'm building these long-term relationships with a character, you as the, you know, omniscient narrator creating that, right? Like the hand of God writing the story of these characters. You know, I'm deeply emotionally invested in what I'm creating and building. And then it's like joyful and it's my truth. Like all four of those kind of need to be present for you to be able to kind of create what you're meant to create. So anything that kind of stands in the way of those four things, we need to figure out how to solve for that, how to eliminate it, delegate it, outsource it, you know, so that you have like the conditions you need to create what you're meant to create.
Yeah. And the Phoenix thing is so interesting because I actually, at the start of this like several year process of trying to figure out what I want to be writing, I did leave my publisher. They offered me a deal for another book, but it just didn't feel right. My sacral said no, I guess. I mean, I didn't know what that was at the time. So I turned it down, and I am kind of shifting genres a little bit, and I'll almost certainly be working with a different publisher once this book is done. And so I kind of did do that without even totally understanding what I was doing.
And it's funny because it's not a failure. I think I have a really good friend who's this Cross of the Sleeping Phoenix. And one of the mindsets that she had to kind of shift was every time she steps into one of these death and rebirth cycles, it's not a failure. It's not a, you know, it's a chapter you chose to close because it needed to close for the new thing to happen. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, now I can stand on the shoulders of like, I have X number of books that I published with a publisher before. Like I've had a publisher. I've had these novels that are successful. Like I cannot wait to stand on the shoulders of that, but now rebirth. It's like the 2.0 or the 3.0 or the 4.0. Like, you know, Apple doesn't apologize every time they update our software. They're just like, look at this new thing we're doing, right? And so it's almost like you got to bring a little bit of Apple energy to this, going like, look at this new thing I'm creating. Like it's even better and bigger and better because it's more authentic. And it's standing on the shoulders of all the stuff I've created before in a way that's really expansive, right? So like, it's cool. You get to reinvent and rebirth yourself, which is so cool. And again, it might take some trial and error to get there too. I think the last thing I'll kind of leave you with is that fifth line wants to be of service. And I think like that's kind of the last piece of the thread. And it sounds like what you're writing about right now with the character with the chronic illness, if that's like the thing you want to continue, like that can help someone feel so seen and so understood. And like to have that mirrored back in literature, like there's so much power in that. That's solving a problem and or quote unquote, like maybe you're not like, you know, researching the cure to whatever that thing is, but there's so many different ways to be of service. And Gate 5 is very solution oriented. It wants to solve problems. It wants to like, you know, almost like show the world also what's working and what's not. Like the other kind of like interpretation of the heretic is like, I always think of Martin Luther nailing his list of church grievances to the door of the Catholic Church to be like, these are all the things you're doing wrong. Like that's also heretic energy. And like, I think there's a part of that too, that wants to like expose injustice or show what's not working and show us the way things could be. Like that's another thing it sounds like is already kind of infused a bit in your writing. And there's this play and this creativity. So it's like, it sounds like you have all the ingredients. It's just like, we got to bake the cake.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's definitely, there are a lot of feminist themes in my writing and the characters who are smashing the patriarchy in various ways or just like making choices that are not popular with the people around them. And I think I struggle with feeling like writing a book isn't like enough for something, but you're right, it does make people feel seen. Like I know I've read so many books that made me feel really seen and changed my life, and I mean that's why I went into this. So
I'm a massive reader as well. Like it was funny actually earlier, I have a book I'm like almost finished that I was like, when am I gonna find time today to finish this novel? But like we're, as readers, we know how impactful even just like reading about a specific character's struggle or it can make us feel seen, feel held. They can be expanders for us. They can show us what's possible. Literature can do that. Nonfiction can do that. Like books are powerful. Storytellers are powerful. And just because it doesn't fit into, you know, I guess what the capitalism values, like artists are like, you know, God, storytellers are some of the first people who had jobs. Like, you know, if you think about it, like, you know, what were we doing around the fire when we were, you know, I don't know, hiding from the woolly mammoth in our cave, we were telling stories. And so just because society hasn't, I think individuals value it, maybe society hasn't told us it's, you know, but it is valuable. And it's like that, if that's the purpose, like, that's the shift to the Aquarian age too, is like, we're doing things like, if I can give myself the gift of giving my energy to the thing that gives me supreme joy and ultimate joy and just like feel super fulfilling and purposeful, then I can show up best for other people. And it's like, that's how we're going to create these societies that are really heterarchical and supportive, is by everyone giving themselves that gift and not just some of us.
That's it for this week. Thank you so much to Lillian for sitting in communion with me and for your honesty and vulnerability. It was such a pleasure. If you would like to connect with me, I would love to tell you about you and what your birth chart has to say about your journey this lifetime. So head on over to interiorcreature.com where you can find the information about birth chart readings via the book a reading link on my menu bar. And if you want to go deeper and really peel back the layers of your relationship to all of your placements in your chart and do some deep and supportive deconditioning work around these energies, you are cordially invited to join me in the Karmic Studies Elevator community. You can learn about that by clicking on the Karmic Studies Elevator link on that same menu bar. Until next time.